Come on.
Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, I think that you and I can relate to this because we have a bromance, obviously, after all these years.
20 years of friendship, Dave. You and I have known each other.
That was Audrey, by the way.
Dave and Mahoney.
They don't know. Theater of the mind. You guys just kissed. Did it again. Whoa.
That's how we like to start every show.
Yes. I watch.
All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, some bad news. I don't know what we're going to be able to do without the Tonys, but we are going to have
to
push
on. Did you say the Toadies?
Did they
disband?
No, not the Toadies.
Oh.
The Tonys.
Oh.
The award show.
I thought you meant like every
Broadway,
Tony.
Every last Tony is going to be executed.
No. Go hug a Tony today.
Does that include Anthem?
The reason why it is not going to happen is because of the ongoing Writers Guild of America strike.
Well, we're not going to get Hugh Jackman out there singing and dancing. Just put Hugh Jackman and Neil Patrick Harris on there. Let them sing. Let them dance. And then occasionally like sprinkle in a Tony Danza.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
But I literally have never watched the Tonys.
Tonys are actually pretty good.
I'm sure that they are.
I like Broadway.
There's a lot of talented people, but...
I get it. You're not a cultured individual
Dave.
Like Audrey and myself.
It matters for the people who have the ability to say that they have gotten an EGOT or they have the accolade of having EGOTs.
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
That's an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and...
A Tony.
A Tony.
Oh, okay, you have to win
a... That's kind of like, I feel like, the highest accolade.
I mean, there's like six people total who have ever done that.
Yes.
And finally, some good news today as well. The NFL is considering adding Tuesday night games to its regular season schedule.
Just have a game every night of the week.
I know, that's what I want.
And then have all the rest on Sunday.
No.
You know, like,
yes.
I'm cool.
Look,
no.
I mean, there's too many on Sunday to watch simultaneously.
Sure.
So spreading them out a little bit, having a Monday night game, obviously.
There is nothing worse than a Thursday night game other than a Tuesday night game.
No, but Monday night football is good. Tuesday night football will be mid. Thursday is getting better.
When college football's done,
Saturday games? Oh, it's the best.
So, how about we just miss... No, we need one every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
Yep. That checks out.
Yep. No.
Absolutely.
No.
Dave and Mahoney.
Audrey, as an attractive young lady, do you worry about people like creeping on you when you're in your own place, like peeping toms, anything like that? Has that ever been a concern for you?
I think that I should be more aware.
Hold on. Why wouldn't you ask me that question?
Because nobody is looking.
Well, not only that, but Mahoney's got like a moat and like shields and tanks outside.
He's
so paranoid.
How dare you? People want to see what's under this Tommy Bahama.
No, they do not.
Dude, there was a beast in my neighborhood.
Beast?
I was out walking.
Okay.
What was Beethoven? What was that? St. Bernard?
St. Bernard, yeah.
There was a unleashed St. Bernard that had to weigh at least 300 pounds.
That's an evil dog owner, man.
And
how
I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, I don't know your dog, but get your damn dog. Because, like, I'm just trying to walk here.
What does that have to do with somebody creeping on Audrey? Are you saying that you and this beast of dog had a connection?
Dog was trying to creep on me.
Yeah.
Neighbor was creeping on me. I'm just saying. I just feel like, you know, it's a little sexist of you, Dave, to only, you know, pose that question to Audrey.
We just know that you would never, Mahoney.
Meanwhile, Audrey's answer is that she's just walking around butt naked at night with the lights on and the windows open.
Yeah, the other day I was peeing with the door open and I could see direct line sight outside and I was like, oh man, I was just peeing with the door open. Nobody can see in because I've also tried to see into other people's places to
You're the creep?
Sure that, you know, transactional. Nobody could see me. I can't see them. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine, yeah. But the reason why I ask is because obviously seeing somebody like creeping through a window would be horrifying.
Absolutely.
But this is right up there with a creepy person looking in your window. Police in New Jersey are seeking an unusual perpetrator seen peering into homes in the area.
Ugh.
They call it a peeping goat.
Oh, no.
So police are advising people not to take...
Not a fainting goat, a peeping goat, for the more perverted of goats.
I hate it.
Police are saying, hey, don't take the law into your own hands here to try to apprehend him. The goat has been seen wandering around the township, showing up at doors and looking into homes. And, I mean, if you think about the actual idea of, you know, you're laying in bed at night or you're getting ready for the evening, you look out and you just see, boom, just this goat-like staring in the
watching
window.
You.
Like, that, You just have a scream off.
I mean, could you imagine, like, you already have a complex, and then that goat sees you butt naked and just adds to it. Yeah, like, man, I was just getting my confidence back.
The goat sees you naked and starts screaming. You're like, hey, man, I've been trying to work out.
Be cool.
Give me a break.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you. Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and
leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What was the most embarrassing or traumatic way you were ever rejected? Y'all have to have some good ones.
Message deleted.
I mean, getting cheated on, I think, is a form of rejection.
You feel like that's rejection?
I mean, yeah.
I feel like that's just a different... I feel like you had something. You still got laid at some point during that.
Uh-huh.
And then she chose that. All right.
All right.
But I feel like rejection's like you put yourself out there to an unknown or...
I did ask a girl in high school to go to, like, the school dance.
Yeah.
And she just said no.
Now, really?
Thankfully, I did not do like the big pomp and circumstance where like I have like a dance.
That didn't exist when we were.
Yeah, that wasn't
when
a thing
we were
for us.
In high school. Thank God.
But yeah, now it's like, you know, you bring in like the flash mob and do a whole thing
it
in front of the class. And
yes, is what they're called now, Dave.
So exhausting.
It's way too much. It's like it's not a wedding. Let's stop with these child weddings. For me, there was a time where I waited up at my house. This is a pre-cell phone time. I was a girl who was a couple years older than me. I was a freshman and she was a junior.
Uh-huh. Ooh, that's a big swing.
And she was a cheerleader.
Oh, my.
And so, you know.
So you guys had a date planned?
She was going to come pick me up.
She was going to come pick you up.
And then never pick me up. And I just waited.
You waited by the window?
Like a sad dog at a puppy store the window. Oh. Just waited all night and just like.
Did like eventually your mom come by and be like, hey, buddy, you want some cookies?
No, my mom went to say, how many 2 liters of Coke did you drink?
My mom went to bed hours before that.
Just housing 2 liters of Mountain Dew. Man, buddy. I'm so sorry. Audrey, you ever get rejected?
Yeah, man, I got divorced.
Oh. Again, that doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hold up, though. Back to that. We're just going to talk about how awful I am now. Because obviously I still know who this person is and we're still connected on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
When her husband left her, I was very happy.
Oh my God.
I was like, that's
karma. What you get for leaving me.
That's karma.
Wait, that was one date that she didn't show up
to.
It was
an extended thing. So uh-huh. It was a pattern of abuse, Dave.
And so when her husband left her, you were out here having.
I was like, good for him, free. Be free, man.
Celebratory Mountain Dew.
He was shaking it.
I have a confession to make. I've never tried a PB&J sandwich. I know, it's crazy, but I need your help. Should I try it with creamy or crunchy peanut butter? And what jelly should I use?
Message deleted.
Hold on a second. Your mother should be arrested. What are you talking about? You've never had a PB&J. That is an all-time classic.
You know, art is subjective. You can choose to go crunchy or creamy, and you can choose your jelly of choice.
Yeah,
but
the
bread matters, and it needs to be brioche. There's no other bread that you need.
Brioche is too thick.
Not on a PB. Like, dude, that's like the perfect peanut butter and jelly bread.
Yeah, it's white bread.
It's white bread.
It's the whitest. To the roof of your mouth, yep, and you're sitting there going,
Wonder Bread. The whitest of all bread.
And that's why you have that big old cup of whole milk to wash that thing out of there.
For all of your lactose needs.
They need a chair. Then she needs to be.
What? It's like, I can't wait to go home and just guzzle this glass of milk.
Nah, sugar bread, man. That is what white bread is.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, but I agree, Mahoney. There's no way. This guy's just trying to talk. Like, if you are, a guy sounded at least 100.
Yeah, how do you like creamy? How do you like people like what they like. Who cares?
It's art. It's subjective.
So for my kids, because they love peanut butter and jelly, sure, but I ain't making peanut butter and jelly.
Just get those Uncrustables.
Yeah, they have Uncrustables. They're pre-made. They come in little packages.
Which, like you said, shame on his mother. Man, like, how lazy do you have to be to, like, not want to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Dave? Like, I mean, I get it, but come on. It's the easiest sandwich to make.
Okay, it's not. First off, jelly, very sticky.
No. You can even use the same utensil. You don't even have to, like, get all kinds of things
happening. What are you talking about?
You
should be arrested. You belong in jail.
I have been arrested, and I have been in jail.
Please leave a message.
And they did not give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They gave me a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
And I hoarded that thing. I hoarded it because I thought it was going to be my last meal.
Hoarded it?
I was just, like, barely eating it. next to the singular toilet that I had in there. I was so scared.
Oh, God.
Can we all just take a moment to talk about how scary fish are? I mean, all of them. There's not one I find cute. They're slimy, ugly, dumb, and sometimes huge. That's a terrible combination.
I mean, there's a couple Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts of the ocean that I follow. And then Audrey and I will share these horrifying videos with each other, like giant great whites that are, you know, like one bite 800-pound tuna in half.
Hate it. If I'm not the apex predator of wherever I'm at, which is nowhere, but if I can't murder whatever it is beneath me or around me with some sort of utensil, I'm not getting in it. I'm not getting in the ocean.
You know what? I bet you were the apex predator in that jail cell. All that extra bologna and cheese.
They put me in the cell by myself because they knew how weak I was.
No, how strong you were. You just eviscerate them like a great white. Just snap people in half. No, bring it on, fellow convicts.
Dave and Mahoney.
So Mahoney, they have been busted. And when I say they, I mean two New York brothers. And they are being called the Catalytic Converter Kings.
Okay. I mean,
this death has been
penalty.
A real problem.
I'm just going to say, I assume these are guys stealing catalytic converters. Death penalty.
Yeah, for real.
For real.
So at our old radio station, they stole not one, not two, not three, not four, but five catalytic converters off of every last station vehicle that were parked out.
We had to drive around in someone's minivan.
The sound like you're
legit. Yeah. No, like they were like, sorry, guys, we don't have a van at the moment. Does anybody else have like a larger car? Like this, we look so janky.
So, you know, I have no idea, obviously, if these particular two brothers were tied to the theft of the ones at our radio station. But these two New York brothers are co-conspirators. They were arrested and charged with an 81-count indictment. Alleging that they engaged in a black market catalytic converter trafficking operation that at one point netted the brothers $170 million from a single refinery.
I mean, you don't even have to like sell drugs anymore. You just like rip stuff off of cars and that's the kind of money you can get. That's wild.
So these guys were in New York. They were stealing catalytic converters from as far away as California, which
could have been
as far as it gets. Yep. But they extracted precious metals from inside and sent those metals to the refineries to get paid. The brothers are facing charges of second-degree money laundering, second, third, and fourth-degree criminal possession of stolen property, fourth-degree conspiracy. They both pleaded not guilty in the bail incentive. $50,000 cash, which does not seem like enough.
$100+ million in stolen goods and your bonds, 50 G's.
And all you have to come up with is 10% of that to get out, so $5,000.
Okay.
And
clearly you have the ability to flee because you came from California but, all the way to New York.
Like somebody who gets busted with, you know, 1 gram too much of weed, or, you know, their bonds denied. But these guys, nah, man. I hate this.
Yeah, so I'm sure they posted bond. I didn't even say that in the story, but it is a huge operation that they were running. Hopefully, getting these guys busted will slow down the stealing of catalytic converters, because I don't know how many catalytic converters you have to steal in order to have one refinery.
Yeah, like, who's looking for you? The FBI? Who's looking for you?
For real?
Everyone. Car owner who's been ripped off.
Yeah, true.
That's who we should let
dispense. The Department of Justice and every dude named Jerry.
Yep.
Jerry.
They're all coming for you.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah,
Dave and Mahoney present.
Fast food freakout.
Shut up and listen to my order.
Pat is joining us for a round of fast food freakouts today. How are you, Pat?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I don't know how good Dave's doing,
Hello,
Pat.
Well, thank you for joining us. Do you have a favorite fast food restaurant?
Probably In-N-Out.
In-N-Out, okay.
Whataburger.
Yeah.
One of the two. It's hard to choose.
I mean, that is an eternal debate.
So Mahoney is the world's leading expert when it comes to fast food restaurants. He's going to be trying to help you out today. Audrey as well, but Mahoney, let's not kid ourselves, Audrey.
Dave,
Mahoney
like
is
to,
the one.
Mahoney's the one.
I like to consider myself a fast food forensic expert. I have been to no less than 13,000 McDonald's here in the continental United States alone that in the last 24 months. Mm.
In the last 2 years, you've been to every McDonald's in the continental?
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right, so good luck to you, Pat. I'm going to give you kind of a rundown of what each one of these is, then I'll give you a multiple choice of what it could be. You got to get two out of the three correct, and again, Mahoney is here to help you out. The first one here is a drive-thru customer hearing the cashier curse and then going on a tirade.
She got to go on the floor. Give me the
Please have a
good day. Okay, call the police and get me out of here. Give me the 800 number so I can tell them you don't have enough thing here. Because we were sitting here at the people.
This
get
is the camera.
Please get out of my line.
People
get out of my line,
here.
Please.
F- you, bitch.
Okay.
F-
and you still waited in order, so have a good day.
Mm. This is real hard.
So
lots of air, lots of echo.
There were multiple accents in that, right?
Yes. Sound, what are you like thinking that it might be like a Duncan or something?
No, man, I just heard like a British accent.
No, there was no British.
British accent. No,
that first lady wasn't like from the UK?
I don't think so. Okay. All right, so there was that A, either an In-N-Out.
No.
B, a Burger King.
Maybe.
C, a Wendy's.
Ooh. Burger King is my gut.
I think it was too busy to be a Wendy's. I really do. I think it's way too busy to be a Wendy's. I could say without a doubt we can eliminate In-N-Out. No
I
chance.
I think it's Burger King. That came to my mind, Burger King.
That's what I'm feeling. That's why I'm right there with you.
Burger King is correct. Well done.
Good job, Pat.
That's right.
Excellent. All right, so this next one is a woman
get them onion rings.
Telling the manager that they made the order wrong, right, but doesn't have a receipt, but she still wants her to remake it for her. So
doesn't have a receipt and she wants it remade.
Okay. So the man was being rude to the waitress, and so this was just kind of like back and forth. So this isn't, let's just have a listen.
Okay, learn some manners, honey, because in this country, women have a voice, and my voice is telling you, go.
What's your name?
I hope it goes viral.
Yeah, I hope it does.
This is MacArthur,
is this your store?
635. 635, yes, honey. Now you can get out of my store with your rude mouth. Get out.
So the waitress clapping back there, is that A, a Waffle House, B, an IHOP, or C, a Denny's?
Oh, got to be a Denny's. Only fights happen in like the middle of the day at a Denny's. Waffle House is overnight. There's too many people.
That's not a Waffle House.
That's not.
That is not a Waffle House.
She was too cool, calm, and collected as well.
I do feel like there is a chance that could be an IHOP, though.
Mm. Oof.
Oh, my answer is Denny's, but that does not matter. It is up to you,
so
Pat.
I think she's throwing out her store number, 635.
You caught that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course I did, Dave. I think, as far as the number of Denny's versus the number of IHOPs, I'm leaning towards IHOP for me personally. You hear a little bit of you hear tables actually getting bussed, which also lets me believe that possibly is an IHOP.
Okay. What do you think, Pat?
No, I'll go with that.
You going with IHOP?
I'm kind of clueless on it. I would either lean towards the IHOP or the Denny's, but I'll go with IHOP.
Yeah,
you did it, man.
I know they're not bussing tables at Waffle House. I love Waffle House.
They're literally putting waffles on old plates.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
When your lifetime goal is to own a partial interest in a fireworks stand, it's the Redneck Report.
Dog will hunt.
On Dave and Mahoney.
So, devastating situation for this woman. Her name is Marcella House, 50 years old. She claimed that she was robbed by somebody who was impersonating law enforcement. So her job was to take the money from her job and go deposit it in the bank.
Okay.
And then she got pulled over by somebody pretending to be the police, and they stole all of the money. And now the plot thickens. I think you can probably guess where this is going. Turns out there was nobody that fake robbed her. She just robbed it.
Yeah.
And they were able to figure this out because they found the bags of the stolen money in her car.
It would have been a perfect crime, but if not for those damn kids.
Pesky details.
Yep.
So this woman, I say lock her up and throw her away forever. She is 41 years old. Her name is Bree Ann. Two different words.
Bree with two E's or Bree with an I?
Bree with two E's.
Okay.
Bree Ann. She was riding around on her bike. And just to give you a visual of her, do you remember Frau from Dr. Evil Sidekick from Austin Powers?
Yes.
She looks exactly like her.
If you threw a leather Nazi outfit on her, 100% would look
spot
like the lady from Austin Powers.
But she was riding around on her bike, keying random cars.
Oh, no.
Just the worst.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, why do you feel the need to destroy other people's stuff?
So a cop was called, and they chased her down. And then she tried to stab the cop with a fix-a-flat tool, tried to stab him in the leg, and that's when the officer was like,
he taser?
I'm a tasey.
Oh, good job. Got her. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, she has been charged with all kinds of stuff as a result.
Yeah, you know, I just, if you're doing a drive-by keen, just.
I hope the worst for you in life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, I also hope the worst for this guy, Trevor Jacob. You probably have heard of this guy before. He's a YouTuber, but that's not why you've heard of him. He's the dummy that finally now has admitted that he crashed his plane on purpose for clout.
I remember this was a video, what, about a year or
December of 2021 is when this video was put
out. Oh, so almost 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Or it is over 2 years
ago. So he was flying the airplane and then jumped out of the airplane.
Because it stalled and it, like...
Supposedly,
in in a specific spot. And I remember when we watched this video for the first time, we're like, 100% staged.
Yeah, so...
Like every YouTuber.
There's camera angles all over the place. And then this guy happens to be wearing a parachute while he's driving this plane, which I don't hate that idea, right? If it's a single engine plane, but you know, the plane crashes and then he goes and tries to find the plane afterwards. But obviously the hazard here is that you jumped out of a plane and then let it crash for clout. Now he has finally admitted that he did this on purpose and he is facing up to 20 years in prison.
Yeah, whoa, man. Yeah. I mean, same thing with a car. Like, what are you going to jump out of a car and crash it into, you know, a wall? Whilst, you know, I mean, on
purpose. They do that, just, though. Yeah. They crash things into walls, like, to test the airbags and stuff.
Well, that's a little bit different than, I hope I get some YouTube views out of this.
Yeah, that's like the National Institute for Highway Safety.
True.
Which also, I miss those dummies.
The crash test dummies?
Yeah.
The band or just the actual dummies?
Both. Both.
me too, brother.
This is Dave and Mahoney. Then this segment is for you. Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I was just wondering if you guys have any weird phobias. I'm deathly afraid of ketchup, and I can't even explain why.
Message deleted.
One, you're not afraid of ketchup. Secondly, I feel like the one that's kind of common, we were talking about it earlier, I have a fear of the unknown whenever it comes to water. So I don't like being in the water that I can't see. Like, American oceans kind of freak me out because I can't see my feet as I'm walking in.
Yeah, like the Caribbean or something, you'd be okay because you can see stuff coming.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, then once it's coming, what am I going to do?
Hey, stop.
Yeah. No. Get away,
you
shark.
Just see the thing that's going to eat you coming your way.
You start cyberbullying the shark.
Growing up in the Midwest, going to the Lake of the Ozarks every single summer is how I spent my childhood. Like, first 20 years of my life, I spent every summer down at the Lake of the Ozarks with my grandparents. And that's a muddy lake.
Yeah.
Like,
is there a lot of catfish in there?
Yeah, there's a lot of everything in there.
People go noodle in there?
They flooded the, you know, the Ozark Valley to form the Lake of the Ozarks.
Are there cities?
And I could not get enough of swimming in that water as a kid. Yeah. As an adult, I'm like, hard pass.
You're like, what was I doing, man?
There's so many syringes.
Snakes, syringes. Turtles. No, it's not even, it's dirty. It's not, it's just muddy.
Oh.
But did I ever tell you guys how I split the bottom of my foot open?
Yes.
Man, it was in Minnesota, and there were some neighbors. In order to get, like, a bunch of mud up, if you wanted, like, a beach in front of your house, you'd have to go in there and basically, like, stomp on the ground and, like, kick up all the mud, and then it would kind of wash away.
Yeah.
But if you do that enough times, it becomes like a beach. So you have, that's like, nice sand underneath all of that mud. But it's something that's necessary. And, oh, man, I was out there doing that with my brother. They had hired us to do it, and we're just out there just stomping.
For your neighbors or your parents' house?
No, at the neighbor's house. And smart. I stepped directly down on what was a broken beer bottle.
Oh, no.
And I was like, and like kind of hobbled up to the porch. And it's gross. But I looked down and I like pulled my foot apart where it was just like a clean cut right basically like at the front of the heel.
Oh,
you know?
The worst part.
So, yeah, right in kind of like the middle of the foot. Oof.
In the middle. Ugh.
Had to get stitched up. That was just one of many experiences with stitches, but oof.
I don't know why this made me think
child labor, though. Your neighbors were just like,
yeah, it's called.
They're like, I got 8 kids, 12 kids in this neighborhood. I'm going to put them all to work.
Yeah, they're paying us like $2 an hour to do that nonsense.
Did you?
We loved it.
Was it close to the webbing of your feet? Or is it like in a square middle?
No. So it's like if you think about like the back of the arch right before the heel, like right there. I still have a scar.
That's boring.
My right foot.
I feel like it would have been a better story if you had, like, you know, sliced the webbing of your toe.
No. Why would you even put that into the universe? Toe. Stop that, Audrey.
What do you mean? It's already happened.
I don't want to hear about that.
Don't you try to revise my traumatic injury.
No, I feel like we can make this better for next time.
She's discounting your injury.
No, I feel like we need to alter the placement. That's all.
You mean
for
lie.
The story?
For the story.
Lie. Whatever. Just for the drama. You know it's real.
I had to get my webbing sewn back together, and then now I can swim like a duck.
You actually had webbed feet. See, this
and
is
that
where I'm
ruined
going.
It. Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to see the first all-electric demolition derby.
Message deleted.
Man, I tell you again, rural Minnesota. That was my favorite day of the year when at the county fair they had the demolition
you
derby.
You got a station wagon driving that bitch backwards?
Backwards? Oh, yes.
If you saw somebody driving a car forward in a demolition derby, you're like, rookie, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, wait till that station wagon with that big old window in the back.
You got to drive that thing back up.
Did you get to drive one?
No.
Dave, story, lie.
Oh, yes, and my webbed feet made it go so fast.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Audrey, I think that you'll appreciate this. Mahoney, I know you will, because both you guys enjoy cute animal videos.
Love them.
And recently, I've been on a raccoon kick, personally, and I know that my phone is spying on me, but when I talk about how I want a pet raccoon, now I'm getting fed a whole bunch of really cool
cute
pet raccoons.
You can domesticate them, man.
I had no idea the possibilities, but what I think I need in my home, along with my four kids and the surprise puppy, is a raccoon.
Well, the raccoon actually probably will do better at potty training than your mother-in-law's puppy.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
You know? So
probably.
I think that that we should really continue to pitch the idea to your phone that you need a raccoon.
So this is not something I don't think that you'd want to domesticate. This is a gigantic snapping turtle, and they have named him Chonkosaurus.
Yeah, I mean, he's thick. That is a thick,
he's on
chomping... turtle.
That's unroided.
Straight up, like outside of the spikes on the shell, like straight up looks like Bowser.
Dude, that is Michelangelo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when he turns 40 and all he stopped doing ninjutsu. He just been eating pizza for the last 22 years.
Interesting that you say that. The biologists that were studying Chonkosaurus say he appears to be between 40 and 50 years old.
See,
it happens, man. It happens to the best of us.
Little chonker.
So this dude has been hanging out on Goose Island on the north branch of the Chicago River. They're saying that they believe that Chonkosaurus weighs at least 60 pounds.
Damn.
Which is
a fat-ass turtle.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had an interaction with a snapping turtle
before? Yes, man. They are scary as hell. They will take off a toe.
For real. And, I mean, I remember, you know, growing up in Minnesota, we'd see snapping turtles all the time. I remember that dad was driving down the road one time, and it was a two-lane road, and there was one of these gigantic snapping turtles in the middle of it, moving pretty slowly, and you can't run them over because you'll flip your car. And so he had to go out, and he grabbed this big tree branch, and he put it near it, and sure enough,
latched onto it,
and he just dragged it out of the road. But that wasn't the real scary incident. It was when I was a kid, and I was just going for a swim, and so he'd run down to the lake, run out onto the dock, and jump off of it, right?
Uh-huh.
Went running out onto the dock, and as I was mid-air, this giant snapping turtle came swimming out from underneath the dock where I was, and I was like, no!
That's why you don't go into lakes and oceans and rivers and creeks, because there are creepy... That thing was still in there with you, man. You could last a toe that day.
I know. Uh-uh. I didn't, thankfully, because I guess I scared him, too. I spooked him a little bit when I was thundering around on that dock, all 90 pounds of me. But, yes, very dangerous, but thankfully it wasn't Chonkosaurus, because he could have just eaten me.
Taking you to the depths.
Yes.
Grabbed you by your pinky toe and you'd never see the damn
last thing I hear is peaches, 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 peaches.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure song that you secretly love but wouldn't dare to admit it on air?
Message deleted.
Well, if we're going to admit it on air, it kind of blows up that whole thing. But I'll just tell you it happened this weekend. I just had my little Apple Music pod just playing a bunch of random music. And Creed came on.
Every time. Creed has hits. Creed is top.
And it was higher.
Yes.
And I didn't just not turn it. I turned it up.
As you should, man.
Should I? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't get that weird hate that everybody has for those songs that were massive hits in the early 2000s and late 90s. Like, everybody had that disdain for Nickelback.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it was the cool thing that everybody was doing, which is such the antithesis of what people in, I don't know, like us do. It's like, oh, cool. It's cool to be anti-Nickelback.
Hey, you know what? I think everybody has to have guilty pleasure songs in whatever genre or, you know, artist it may be. You do you. Debating, like, whether or not somebody likes something is just such a fruitless argument to me. Like, I can't tell you why you like something or why you like something sucks. Whatever. You do you. If it makes you happy, you keep doing it.
Mahoney, I feel like you do have a guilty pleasure song because you have one of my favorite stories from your life was whenever you were in a parking lot listening to, what was that one song? When you were high on like Angel Dust?
Or yeah, I mean, it's a stupid hippie. Yeah, man, I got accidentally dosed with some Angel Dust, a.k.a. PCP.
You thought you were smoking weed and turned out it was laced. Normal.
Yeah. Not cool, you know, and I was 16, 17 years old, hanging out at my friend's 1997 Eagle Talon, which was brand new at the time.
Those things slapped.
And it was,
what was
so
the
much. The song is a hip-hop artist named Monifa, and the song was Touch It. My friend had...
I'm gonna touch it,
I have
yes.
no idea what song you're talking about. I just love that her name is Monifa.
You know the song, because it was like a casual hit. But that, knowing that Mahoney was just listening to Touch It. Dude,
by Monifa, high on PCP.
And we were driving around to Taco Bell, you know, bumping it, because my friend had subs in his car. And,
of course.
You know, even now as a 41-year-old man, I've got a system in my car. I got subs.
It's so unnecessary.
I will bump.
You still listening to
subs
Monifa?
I will listen to Toyota Avalon that you drive through the suburbs.
Dave, we work in radio, so, yeah. You know, I'm just investing in our craft.
Are you trying to write off your subs?
Yes.
Okay.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
There is a certain person. A certain person. So vile, so arrogant, a middle ground between horrible and useless. A culinary and retail nightmare. A person who we call Karen. These are the Karen Chronicles.
Why did you do that, Karen?
These are all real reviews that you're about to hear of people that have gone online to express their hatred, because when talking to the manager, sometimes it doesn't go the way that you want it to, so you've got to take it out on somebody.
Dave, they will be heard. Their reviews will live online for infinity.
Sometimes they might tip
for infinity.
You're only 18%.
I'm not a Karen. I am a Darren. Get it right. That's how I identify.
All right, so here we go. The single Karen Chronicle for today is from a place called High Rock Cafe. This is in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. Allison said 5 out of 5. Service was great and friendly. The food was equally good. And Audrey, you'll appreciate this. The inside was decorated very cute.
Cute. Love it.
Lori said 5 out of 5. Fantastic. Best prime rib you will ever eat. All the food and cocktails are phenomenal. Excellent service as well. Don't be afraid to wait for a table. Worth it every time. Karen did not have a great experience, said 1 out of 5 stars. I ordered a watermelon and mint spritzer off their mocktail menu, and it was basically a kiddie cocktail with some mint floating around. After a couple of sips, I told the waiter, it's too sweet, and I sent it back, asking for the $7 kiddie cocktail to be taken off the bill. She came back with all the gall and told me that her manager said, quote, watermelon is supposed to be sweet, so he's not taking it off the bill. Me and my family eat here all of the time. I've literally never heard of a manager not removing something from a bill. This crappy restaurant will never get my family's business ever again, and we're rich.
And we're rich.
I mean, you ordered basically a Shirley Temple, man.
With a little bit of mint in there.
Literally.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we hear stories about people hitting these jackpots all the time, and it's never us, and that's okay. You know, it's not going to stop me from trying. My wife... recently confronted me about the fairly significant pile of lottery tickets that I had sitting on my desk.
Dave, these things happen.
And I was like, why are you prying? I'm trying to provide for this family in the best way that I know how, which is by gambling our money on the lottery.
No, you're supporting local initiatives. Education, roads.
Yes.
You know, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Dave. Yeah. You're giving it back to the community.
It is astounding to me that I never win literally anything. It's like, I'll get like, you know, 10 rows of numbers, and I'll look at it at the first number. I'm like, not a single match out of all 10 of these for even one
number. Not even the Powerball?
No, not even like getting my like $2 back or anything like that. Just absolute blank every single time. But it doesn't stop me from going back. And you know what? Let this be a lesson. You just keep on keeping on. A California woman recently overcame being homeless and is now a millionaire after winning a $5 million prize in a scratcher.
A scratch-off won $5 million?
So wow. She'd been homeless since 2017, and she'd been battling back to overcome the challenges for a few years. Recently went to a Walmart to get an oil change for her car and said that she scratched the top winning prize right outside. She thought, at first I thought I'd won a free ticket, but I checked and it said I won $5 million. Said 6 years ago I was homeless. This year I'm getting married, getting my associate's degree, and I won $5 million.
See, this is a sweet story. If we were to win, Dave, you were sitting here trying to, like, you know, really pitch for people to continue to go and gamble their way through because you might be a millionaire. Our stories wouldn't be as sweet and endearing. It would just be like, woman with Amazon addiction. Finally, yes. And then more money to spend on Amazon.
And then 3 years later, woman who won $5 million in the lottery.
Living in the Amazon cardboard box.
Man, like, wouldn't be as nice.
She said she plans on buying a house and investing the rest, but I mean, what's really great is like she'd been working so hard to overcome all of this stuff.
To get life back on track.
And she got it back on track, and like everything's finally going right after, you know, having just a devastating situation, and now she's $5 million richer, so great story.
Good job.
Dave Mahoney.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you. Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and
leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Who the hell eats pizza with a fork and knife? I tell you who. Germaphobes, psychopaths, or prissy rich daddy trust fund kids. Use the tools that God gave you.
Message deleted.
I mean, who cares how people eat food?
Disagree. So, yes, you're not eating normal pizza with a fork and a knife. At least I'm not. But there is some pizza like that Lou Malnati's, like the real Chicago-style pizza.
Well, deep dish.
The deep dish that... It's better with a fork and a knife because otherwise, like, it's all sliding off and it's just a mess.
I've never one time seen somebody attempt to eat a deep dish pizza with their hands. I don't even think that's a thing.
That's like eating lasagna with your hands. Bad take.
Well, I like to eat lasagna without my hands.
I will.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, ladies.
I will say this. There were certain foods that
lasagna.
I would eat.
Lasagna. Oh, God. Sorry, Audrey.
Did you just say Lady Zanya and just crack up at yourself?
Yeah. Lay Zanya.
Oh, okay.
Sufficient.
Either way. Hilarious. She's giving up.
I just wanted to remind everyone, and I mean everyone, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's all. Oh, also, check for lumps on your breasts.
Message deleted.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Weird calls today.
Yeah.
Like what?
Check your boobies. Don't forget that you're only supposed to eat pizza with your hands.
Speaking of checking yourself before you wreck yourself, though, I will say there are times because I had one of the worst meals I've ever had on Mother's Day.
You had one of the worst meals on Mother's Day? Didn't you take your mom to your favorite Brazilian steakhouse?
Yeah, I did.
And bad service there.
Bad service, and the food was all, everything was well done. Literally every piece of meat in that place was well done, and the server was just trash as well. But I'm like, I had to check myself before I wrecked myself because it was like, it wasn't about me.
There's
my mom was there. It's Mother's Day.
When you're messing with Mahoney, don't mess with his food. That's one thing that man loves.
But I'll tell you this, though. I was furious because they had one of the tableside checkout things, and they bring it to me, and then the server just stands there and waits.
While you're tipping to, like,
while
pressure
I'm tipping.
You.
And I'm like, I'm a 20% across the board. That's like
minimum.
But the service was so bad and the food was so bad and that they were like kind of flippant about it.
What'd you give them? 15%?
18%.
18.
I looked him dead in the eyes.
You coward.
18%.
18.
What a statement.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
How annoyed do you guys get when they turn the little iPad around and they ask for the tip at places that used to just be like, okay, I'm going to this business and I'm buying whatever it is that I'm buying. Before you didn't ask for a tip, now you're asking
tipping
for a tip.
Tipping has gotten out of control. If I am doing all of the work and you are literally just handing me something, that is not tip worthy. I empathize with, you know, we all want to make more money, but that is on make the prices of the food more and then include it there.
Yeah,
you know, it's the people who own the businesses. Yeah. But like if you don't bring me a soda, you don't clean the tables, and I got to do all the stuff in between. What exactly am I tipping for? Especially when you're not even that pleasant when you're taking my order.
It feels like corporate greed to me. You know, where the companies don't want to pay their employees a fair wage, and so they expect that people are going to tip them. If we're talking about something like Starbucks, and you have customized drinks, I do feel like that can be tip worthy. But, you know, like 20% on everything just seems a little egregious. And Audrey, you had a point about it wasn't that long ago where that story was floating around about the app to pay your rent in certain markets in New York where the landlords were now asking for tips as
right.
well.
Well, I mean, but here, to the corporate greed, I don't even know what percentage, and I would actually love for somebody who probably is working in one of these climates, 833-YO-DUMMY, I don't think that they get the entire percentage of those tips.
Depends on the place. Some places don't get any, and it just goes to the bottom line of whoever owns the place.
Yeah, there was a sub shop that was in the news not that long ago for exactly that, where they had the tip jars out, and of course, it's implied that the people that are working there would get the tips.
Who else would you think it would go to?
Just went to the owner of the franchise, yep. Just go ahead and taking all that money for themselves. Not a penny.
Tipping in America's gotten out of control. It really has.
Oh, wait. You ready for one additional thing?
What now, Dave?
Self-checkouts are now asking for tips. So consumers are already pretty upset with all of the constant tip harassment that they...
Bless you.
There we go.
What?
No, bless you for guacamole.
I'm keeping it alive.
So companies, including airports, bakeries, coffee shops, and sports stadiums now have introduced the self-serve tipping option despite facing minimal to no interaction with any employee whatsoever.
No, I'm a person, because the Walmarts near me or like most grocery stores have the self-checkout option and only have like one cashier available. Every time I will go to that cashier, I love interaction. I love service. Like I'm a person that I want to be able to have a connection with a person wherever I go. I would be more apt to tip a cashier or a bagger if you give me that option. Infinitely 10 times more than like going through the pokey line or something where nobody's like really doing you much of a service, or through self-checkout in this instance. Like that just is ridiculous. Going to Target and go to self-checkout, what? I do the whole thing myself.
Exactly.
I'm at Walmart when I get the grocery drop-off. I tip there because a service was done.
Oh, for sure.
Like, if you're
going to go grocery shopping for me, like with Instacart or whatever, or even if you just bring them out to the car and you load it up, like that again is a service. You're doing something.
Corporate profits are at an all-time high right now.
I'm not tipping you just for being Target.
And who do we know? who do we know? And yes, I empathize with the plight. Like we all wish somebody would tip us or get more money at our job, but that is on the responsibility of the employers. And unless we fight back as the public because you want working class people to support working class people while the rich just continue to get richer, it's garbage.
It is garbage. So the answer to will I ever tip on a self-checkout is a
never.
Big fat no.
I'll burn it down.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Dave and Mahoney present Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
Probably not.
Harley is joining us today for a round of Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout. How are you today, Harley?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. So thank you for joining us. Tell us about your level of education so we understand if you are, in fact, going to be smarter than Mahoney today.
I graduated high school and did like one semester at college and then had a baby.
Okay.
And, so, and in college.
Same. Some college, right? So Mahoney went to three different community colleges because he wasn't willing to admit that maybe this schooling thing wasn't for you, but you guys both have some college.
I was trying to meet girls, Dave.
I got you. All right, so Mahoney is going to get up and leave the room, and you guys are going to be asked the same six questions. You do have one pass today, so feel free to use that whenever you want. I would just encourage you to use it sooner rather than later. Mahoney is officially out of the room and cannot hear. All right, so here we go. Question number one, Harley. How many planets are in the solar system?
13.
You sure you don't want to pass on that?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pass on that.
Yeah, that's a good pass. Excellent. No, it's not 13. Do you know the correct answer, Audrey?
It's my mom something, something very...
My very excellent mother just saved us 9 pickles, but the P...
Pickles?
Yeah.
You're such an obsessive pickle person. It's pizzas.
Pizzas?
Yeah, it's always been pizzas. Huh. It's never been pickles.
That's not how I learned it. 8 is the correct answer there. 8. All right, here we go on to question number 2. Which band has the most Grammy wins?
Which band?
Which band has the most Grammys?
Of all bands, no no choice?
No hint? No,
yeah, I'm on your side, dude.
Let's see. How about the Beatles?
It's a good guess, but it's incorrect. U2 actually has won the most Grammys. 22 Grammys for U2. All right, here we go. On to question number 3. What is the capital of France?
Paris.
Yeah. On the board. Well done, Harley. Here's question number 4. Which classical composer was famously deaf?
Oh, hold on. I know this one, damn it.
Are you backing up?
Doggone it.
What was the question one more time, Dave?
On the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, which classical composer was famously deaf? 5 seconds.
Damn it. I know it. I just can't.
Yeah.
On the tip of my tongue.
You're going to hate it when I tell you. It's Beethoven. It's Beethoven.
Beethoven.
Yep. All right, it's okay. 2 more questions to go. When did the United States enter World War I? Which year was it? And if you don't get it exactly, just the person that's closest is going to get the point.
World War I. 1941.
That would have been 2.
41? Yeah. No. 1917 is actually the correct answer there. It's all right, we got one more to go.
After the Titanic and right after Spanish flu, right?
Something like that.
That's my timeline in my head.
Final question. What ocean lies off the coast of Australia? Which ocean off Australia?
Atlantic.
No, unfortunately not. That's the Indian Ocean. So you got you got one correct, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily out of this yet. Mahoney is going to re-enter the room right now, so we'll put you back on hold. And Mahoney, you're going to be asked the same questions.
Where'd you go? Because they're playing us all over in the hallways, in the bathrooms, outside, inside.
I changed the.
Oh, you
station.
Did
the overhead.
Yeah, I went and got coffee and took a pee. Which, by the way, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a lot of collusion was going on. I had a lot of time.
No collusion.
There.
He was just trying to talk through some of these. Uh-huh.
Mahoney, I am going to say I'm on both of your all sides today. These questions are not easy. So good luck.
How many planets are there in the solar system?
Are we considering Jupiter a planet?
Jupiter has always been a planet.
No, it hasn't.
Been Pluto.
Or Pluto, whatever, man.
It's up to you to figure it out, man. How many planets in the solar system?
8.
8 is correct.
How did you learn it? My very mother, what is it?
My very elegant mother just made me a pizza party something.
No, see, my very excellent mother just saved us 9 pickles.
It's never been a pickle.
It's always
pizza.
Been a pickle.
It's been pizza.
Pizza. Dave's a pickle propagandist.
That's what I said.
That is correct.
I said this guy is over here obsessed about pickles his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Love a pickle. Question number 2, which band has the most Grammy wins?
Oh, boy.
Of all bands of all time that have ever been a band.
So define, like, artist or band?
Band.
Band. That's why I said which band.
Pass.
Okay, good pass. U2 is the correct answer there.
I never would have guessed that.
22 Grammys for U2.
Because I would have guessed, guessed Michael Jackson or Beyonce.
He guessed the Beatles.
Beatles would have been a good
answer,
too.
Which is a pretty
good
guess. Yeah. I mean, considering how iconic
a lot of
their...
Competition back then was too hard.
Mm. Question number 3, what is the capital of France? Oh, he's got this look on his face. Like,
I mean, I feel like this is like a trick question.
Mm, it might be.
What is the capital of France? I mean, I can name like one city in France.
And what would it be?
That'd be Paris.
Is that your answer?
Sure.
Paris.
I can't literally name another, what, like Champagne? Isn't that a region?
Champagne. Because, yeah, whatever.
Is Versailles in there?
Yeah. Isn't that just like a house? I don't know anything about France.
Okay, let's just move on. Either. This is getting more embarrassing.
Sure.
Second. Which classical composer was famously deaf?
That'd be Beethoven.
Boom, 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 boom.
Midnight Sonata, man. I used to own one of those.
When did the United States enter World War One?
1911.
No, but good enough for a point because you were much closer. 1917 is the correct answer.
Love how in history there is absolute date and facts. Mm-hmm. And we're like, whatever, you're kind of close.
Yeah, close enough.
To the 1900s. Yeah,
sure. You're in the right decade.
100 years ago.
I don't know much about World War One.
And final question, which ocean lies off the coast of Australia?
It ain't around a bunch of
coasts. A couple, like, you've got like...
Hey, stop trying to talk your way out of it. Just answer the damn question.
Aren't there a couple, though?
I would have thought there was at least two.
Because, I mean, again, you have the Pacific to the east.
4 seconds.
Then you've probably got the Antarctic to the south. I'm going to go Pacific because that's closest.
Also wrong. Indian Ocean.
That's to the north. I mean, there's several oceans that surround Australia.
I feel like that's correct.
You win.
Like the Antarctic to the south, the Indian to the north, and the Pacific to the east.
You had 4 out of 5, man. Stop complaining.
All right.
Harley got 1.
Oh, man. Sorry, Harley.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. Yay! Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Call 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please record your message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's the weirdest thing that has ever happened to you during a live broadcast?
Message deleted.
The weirdest thing that's ever happened during a live broadcast, and it's not like a funny thing at all. I mean, when we were broadcasting in Las Vegas that morning of October 1st and trying to figure out like what was going on in real time when a tragedy is unfolding is kind of an unspeakable thing because you have there's no playbook on how to handle a situation like that.
You hope to never have to.
Yeah, but it was a very, very impactful day, I know, for me personally, just looking back on my whole career. I mean, there's been plenty of weird things that have happened, but that day stands out without question.
Most meaningful. I mean, the weirdest day, I drank 4-4 Locos back when they still had the good juice in them. You know, they had all the caffeine.
Mahoney, after the show that day, because we had a production room that kind of like this one where you could see, and Mahoney fell asleep sitting up after he drank 4-4 Locos. He was just awake. And then we went to a meeting with the entire staff, and Mahoney was all jacked up on caffeine and also very drunk.
Malt liquor, yeah.
Wait,
were you awake or were you asleep?
It was a little bit of both because, the liquor was the problem with 4 Loco, if you don't remember back in the day, because they had just announced that they were going to ban it because there was a bunch of college students, I believe in Oregon, who had cut their 4 Loco with vodka, and then they all thought they were
poisoned and dead.
I peed my pants on 4 Loco.
Yeah, you did.
But the
OG 4 Loco with all the horrible caffeine and everything else that they had in there. You know, your heart, my heart rate was probably like 210 at the time, but
resting.
You're staying up because of that, and then you're also simultaneously falling asleep because of all the alcohol in there. So it was my body was having an eternal tug of war.
See, Let me just tell you the end of that story is we went to this meeting, and it had all of the sales team in there, the general manager, everyone from the staff, the promotions team, and Mahoney is just rattling off all of these ideas for what we should be doing for annual promotions for the radio station. And I just remember that it kind of got quiet in the room after Mahoney finished about a 6-minute diatribe on what we should be doing as a radio station and brand, and the general manager just stopped and looked at me and said, "Will you get him the hell out of here?" And he kicked Mahoney out of the meeting.
And you know what, Dave? That guy no longer works in radio. Any of those promotions people, none of them work in radio. All the salespeople got fired.
Are you saying you had the best ideas?
They were such great ideas.
There's one here.
Okay.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Mahoney, I don't know why it has come up so many times over the years. Like, if we had a dream vehicle, not just like as an everyday driver, but if we had a dream vehicle, that we could steal run from the cops.
We're talking about a Z26 Beretta?
I mean, a Z26 Beretta would be a pretty sweet vehicle, but that's more of a daily driver. I'm talking about the ultimate vehicle to steal to run from the cops.
A tank?
Because, I mean, we've seen that, right?
Yeah,
The intro to America's Wildest Police Chases.
They don't tell you that guy died.
Well, like, you can't be stealing a tank and think it's going to end well.
Fair.
This dude... Not a tank, but close. It's one of those, like, massive, like, military trucks.
Oh, yeah, it's like a big-ass military truck.
Yeah, so
like, that you would help, you know, I don't even, like, you would move tanks on.
So it was...
You would, like, throw it on the bed.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a 5-ton military vehicle.
I feel like that's actually would be more, that you know, like, you could figure out how to drive that, whereas tank, pretty tricky to drive.
Yeah, pretty tricky. This guy, it's a 38-year-old dude who looked every bit of 60. His name is Michael Stevens II. He stole, for those in the military, you might be able to solve this riddle for me, M923A1. It's a military cargo truck.
Sure.
But the cops were chasing this truck down the highway, causing several vehicle crashes. Failed multiple times to try to stop it with spike strips.
You can't pit maneuver that thing either.
There's no way you're pit maneuvering that. Like, what if you're the cops, like, what do you do? Because, like, even look at those tires on that thing. You think spike strips, like normal spike strips?
I mean, that is a military vehicle. That thing is reinforced.
Yeah, eventually he decided that he was going to try to stop and run away on foot, and turns
smart.
Out that was not.
Get out of the 5-ton truck.
And run. Yeah, good luck. Quickly apprehended after that, so he faces charges for motor vehicle theft, 2 counts of first-degree assault, 2 counts of second-degree assault, and the failing to obey a lawful order.
They set the dogs on them. They get the dogs on them.
Man, you know that they, the dog guys, because we have a great friend that has been, was a dog guy with the cops for 25 years, and man, there is just nothing more fun than releasing the hounds.
Release the hounds, man. And that dog there, you never see a dog happier than when he's biting an a-hole.
Dude, when he is, when you, like, you can see those dogs smile as they're flying through the air to latch onto the air.
I'm gonna bite you nuts.
I've been training for this.
My training's paying off.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
Because your home phone, cell phone, email, Facebook, Twitter, and home screen all at the same time.
They're everywhere.